the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. In today's story of Mary, we see the type of questioning, believing, and obedience that gives birth to faith in our lives. We, like Mary, cannot be faced with the boldness of the call of the Christian life without being a bit perplexed and maybe fearful ourselves. However, while we certainly hear that she is afraid, we do not hear that she is a coward. Instead, we can listen to the story of Gabriel announcing the birth of Christ to Mary and hear in it how she models for Jesus the kind of life that he must live, which is anything but a cowardly life. When Gabriel appears to Mary, the gospel says she was perplexed. She pondered. She was afraid. Her questions of what this could mean for her are like Christ's questions of what it could mean to be the Messiah. Her questions are later heard in the voice of the disciples, who wonder, fearful as well, who then is this, that he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him? Her questions are even questions Jesus will ask of his followers, wondering, who do you say that I am? Gabriel says to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. Almost as if to say, Mary, what you give life to will give us all life. The change you experience now will change everything. And for all of us, there will be a kingdom with no end. Your womb, your body, your life will literally make room for Christ. And in order for the world to make room for the Prince of Peace, everything will have to change. Mary will be for us the greatest of stewards, in that the very flesh of her body will be stretched, will be changed, will be made his, so that God could take on flesh and dwell among us. Mary wonders, how can this be? How can it be that as a virgin, I will have a son? The disbelief, the wondering, it's almost as if the tone in her voice is the same tone in the voices of the people as they later ask, how can this be? Isn't this Joseph's son? And maybe a wonder in her voice of whether or not he was Joseph's son at all, or born of a spirit outside this world. And in light of the life she will live and the life she will birth, Mary names herself a servant. Being given the highest of honors, she lowers herself. She knows, as we hear in her song, her canticle, that the Lord will have mercy on those who fear him, that the proud will be scattered in their conceit, that the mighty will be cast down from their thrones, and that the lowly will be lifted up. She doesn't know, but she believes that God will come to help his servant, and that the promise God has given to Israel, God will also give to her, and that she might be counted as servant and child. By naming herself servant, she shows Jesus with her life how to wash the feet of the disciples. His act of service, his act of love, his act of lowering himself, though he is the Messiah, he first sees in the woman who raises him. We all hear the song of Mary, and we would all profess, I'm sure, to believe that the first will be last, and the last will be first. Mary, though, she doesn't just believe it, she lives it. She lives into the truth that all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And she shows this truth to Jesus in her life. And even in all the talk of what would happen to her, who her son would be, a note from Gabriel about not just her and her child, but also those around her. When Gabriel says, for nothing is impossible with God, he tells Mary what her life will be like and what life will be like for everyone. It is as if to say, Mary, it isn't just you who are changed. Everything is changing. Those who are barren will birth children. The impossible is happening both in Elizabeth and in you. And later, the impossible will be made possible in your son's death that will lead to everlasting life. Mary will live into the truth that nothing is impossible with God. And she will lead us into this truth through teaching it to Jesus. Jesus will go on to do the impossible with God and also do the impossible with us. The angel says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." What the angel didn't say, but that we know, is that there will be a shadow of darkness over Jesus, as a curtain is torn in two. And then, like now, like always, the Holy Spirit would be upon not only her, but her son as well, with the power of the Most High being so strong that death would be turned into life. Mary models for Jesus that in order for God to be with us, for us to receive Emmanuel, we make sacrifices. We take risks. We let God take us over so that the kingdom can come. Mary models a level of faithful obedience that teaches Jesus to one day be a savior. Later in Luke, Jesus will go to the Mount of Olives. He will pray, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In his anguish, he will pray, and his sweat, like drops of blood, will fall to the ground. He will be faced with his own annunciation, the final question of whether he will love with his being. And he will, of course, say yes to God. He will say yes to loving us and giving us abundant life, because he learned that response and that willingness from his mother. Jesus is able to say, "Not my will, but yours be done," because Mary first said, "Let it be with me according to your word." This stunning obedience born out of love and faith is learned from the mother who would give life to Jesus so that Jesus could give life to the world. Soon, Mary will hold a baby in her arms and sing to him her own song as if a lullaby. And she will be for him a teacher. She will tell him the story of what his life might mean, of the prophecies foretold, and of what her life might mean, and how God might be changing everything through the life that now only kicks in her womb. Amen.